For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And welcome to the Morning DNA. I'm Aaron Darcy, the man of single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions. And we're here to find out what October 18th, 2021 is made of. Good morning, Danae. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Oh, great. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I realize that my chair, I can, you know, as most chairs do, can lower it and raise it. Now, this might seem like a really boring way to start the show, but see, visually, podcast listeners,
welcome to the Morning DNA.
Visually, podcast listeners, I feel like a toddler today because I lowered my chair so low that I can cross my legs and my chair and my knees don't hit any of the underside of the tables.
Nice. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which just makes me look really tiny on screen because I'm already like...
Well, there's two things. There's two things going on visually.
Hi, everybody. I'm Danae.
Well, let's talk about three things going on screen. Number one, let's just start with the obvious. I'm a giant man. So, you know, anybody's going to look tiny.
That's right. That's
next
true.
To me. Add to that the fact that, number two, you have lowered your chair. So now it looks like you are like 9 inches tall. And then third, you are also sitting further back because you've got your legs crossed, right? Like you're not forward. And so there's a perspective thing as well.
Because what if I can cross my legs, then I can come forward more. See, that's the idea anyway. Mm-hmm.
You are so way down there right now. It's so funny. There's like, you know, like if you're taught in like video production school, like how much headspace to give, you're usually taught like the rule of thirds,
it needs to
right?
Like come up,
Eyes should be about 2/3 up the screen. And then you should have a little bit of head space, you know, above that.
So
Danae's
bad.
Rule of thirds is her eyes are at the lower third of the screen. And then there's 2/3 of the screen above her. So
just a quick question as I sit up and address my chair appropriately. Uh-huh. Do you think, though, that this is so like we're in real life together. Uh-huh. Is this about actually our height difference? If I actually come down, is this about it?
No, it's more than that, actually. Yeah, no, I think you are about shoulder height me. Because I think you're the same. Aren't you and my wife the same height? I think I remember you and my wife are the same height.
I'm 5'5". Okay. So visually, people, this is about how our height difference in real life.
Yes.
So.
And relative size difference.
So now you can kind of see what we have going on here. He's like a 6'6" behemoth giant of a man.
Yes.
And I am the small hobbit.
13 inches shorter than me if you're 5'5". So, yeah, that makes sense.
There All right, you go. Fine. I'll sit up like a professional.
Welcome. Welcome, guys. Chat is hopping. Love you guys. Nick, for whatever reason, says, I'm feeling very Star Warsy today. So that's too high, Danae. Okay, there we go. Wow. Now she's taller than I am. So
I haven't even drank any coffee yet. This is just legit. It's coming out of me.
Chris is talking about leaving his door open. Nick says, oh, the beard is back. Thank you for calling it a beard. That's very kind. On the road to 10 more pounds. 15. I shave every 15 pounds.
Do you think I'm going to forget every single time that you've hit one of your weight goals and you're going to come on this show shaved? Chat's going to notice. They're going to say, hey, congratulations on your weight loss. And I'm going to continually be like, what's going on? Is that going to happen every week? That's my question.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
If I'm losing 15 pounds a week, first of all, take me to the hospital. Something is wrong. That is way too much weight to lose every single week. So shouldn't be weekly, but you know, maybe 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks or so would be.
Sorry, we weren't here last week. We missed you.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't like missing a week.
Me either. It was my fault, though. It was my fault this time.
Well, was it, though? Because I'm pretty sure... The idea was to actually do the show while you were traveling, because you were supposed to be...
Supposed to be.
At an airport where you were going to be doing all the cool things that you do in an airport, which is hope to God you don't get some sort of disease. That was before COVID. And wait. A lot of waiting happens in the airport.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing the show from the airport, but we just kind of decided, well, there were two things that happened. We were like, nah, that might be a little difficult. In second, like I don't know if you have heard, there's a lot of stuff going on with the airlines drama right now. And because I fly standby, because my mom worked for Delta, and so I'm able to fly what's called non-rev. And so I fly standby. Danae is now showing the no drama llama. I get pushed below everybody else that's getting on the plane. And so with, you know, huge amounts of flights canceled, I could not get anywhere last week. We ended up having I had a great friend in the area who drove me halfway home and met my parents who are in town halfway. And so the flights weren't working. So, yeah.
I'm gonna,
it was wild.
While you do that, I'm gonna take this beard message off of the screen because it's just taunting me.
I thought maybe if I left it up there long enough, it would register in a way. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know this. I'm fine with your levels of awareness and concern for others. God. No, you are who you are. Like, I am who I am. Yeah, I don't hold that.
I am what I am. I am a fly by the seat of my pants sort of person. Mm-hmm. People who know me know that Babs, the character I play, is more like me than Sadie Jean in so many ways, because I'm just this chaotic.
Yeah.
What kind of animal am I? I was going to say
an alley cat? I'm waiting. I'm waiting this one out, Danae. So either say it or don't say it. Either say it or say I'm not going to say it, because I'm waiting.
No, I'm going to tell on myself so that everyone can laugh along with me of myself.
Chaotic.
Okay. So just a quick recap. I asked you what animal I was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I almost said was I'm a chaotic noodle. Which is
not last time I checked. Noodle is not an animal.
Nor is it chaotic. What does a noodle do?
A noodle can be chaotic.
It just sits there stiffly until it's boiled. No, not if you go like this to
it. Not if you like swing it up and down. It goes...
And it makes once boiled, sure, it becomes interesting. But until then, it's just... I guess it's interesting to some people.
I'm the noodle. I'm the noodle. Yeah. I'm only interesting if I get boiled, which, is not my natural state. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Anyhow, we missed you guys last week. We're excited to see you this week.
Yeah.
I always want to say hi to specifically...
go for it.
All of the love that we get in all the different chat platforms. So thanks to all of the Twitchers who are watching the show live. For those who are catching the show for the first time, this is the morning show, like podcast style conversational thing that I do with my creative partner, radio partner, podcast partner, Aaron Dicer.
That's me.
And this is kind of an extension of when we used to do radio every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Monday through Friday.
We did a morning show.
Had it syndicated across the nation for quite some time, which was really fun.
Internationally syndicated.
That's actually
true. We
could
be heard in Canada and Mexico.
Technically, I just want to let you know, we're still international because this is the internet. But...
that's right. It's a different kind of international syndication, but it works.
It went through the actual towers. Now, for the young people, towers are when...
Do you remember Lord of the Rings?
That's right. You light the beacons.
There's a tower.
Mm-hmm. When Gondor calls for aid, Rohan answers.
And we were Rohan.
We were Rohan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, so we would literally start our day coming up with things to talk about, and then we would do it all live. Phone calls coming in, the whole, like, what you would think a morning radio show would be. So
the bad parts. Except all the bad things you think a morning radio show would be. Okay, maybe some of just a few of those as well.
I was going to say, what nest are we kicking over today? Anyhow, so we have a many, many years, almost 10 years. I think next year is our 10th year that we'll have known each other. No, wait, it's this year.
Yeah, we have known each other over 10 years.
So, This is kind of our little space to connect and just kind of have a little bit of fun together. We do a topic. I'll bring up a topic. We'll chat about it. Aaron brings up a topic. We chat about it. And then we kick it over to you guys for an Ask Us Anything segment, which literally anything goes, and we'll try to answer as many as we can. We really haven't had any people trying to troll us in that section yet, so I'm a little disappointed. No, that's not true. They've definitely tried.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's happened.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's happened.
I do want to point out the random chick on Twitch says, alley cats are great.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to put that picture closer to you so you don't have to get up, walk across the room, and go grab it.
It's probably
we have
true.
This amazing picture that I'm going to make Aaron go get it. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Can you go get that, please? Hey, Aaron. Can you go get that, please? Can you please detach yourself from whatever you've got going on and go get that? So Aaron and I have thought about doing like a comic series with our voices reenacting bits that we've done or like funny things that, because we used to do so much content every week we did a radio show. Sometimes we got up to where we're doing 4 podcasts a week. So we've been putting out content for a long time. And so we had a ton of material that we could have pulled from. And one of the segments that we were going to do was called the Furfur and Varky, which is kind of like Aaron and I's alternate personalities, if you could say that, where if Aaron was an animal, he would be. No, this is actually it kind of stemmed from our nicknames we gave each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start there. Furfur and Varky stems from Aaron gave himself a nickname and I gave myself a nickname. And we now believe that when you do that, it's not a good idea.
It's terrible. This was grade school. I don't remember when you gave yourself this nickname, but for me, this was like, I need a cool nickname. My initials are ARD. So that's like Ard, like Aardvark. So now everybody's going to call me Varky. That's going to be my nickname. So cool. Varky.
Mine unfortunately happened when I should have known better. And, my first name is Jennifer, and I went by Jenny for most of my youth. In fact, I dropped that name the second that I could after I graduated high school. I put my middle name, Danae, as my first name on my first job application once I graduated high school and haven't looked back. But for the formative years of my life, I was known as Jenny. So when all of my cool friends were picking out names for themselves, they were all basing them off of their names. But what do you do with the name Jennifer? I said Furfur without thinking, and it stuck. And I hated it I hated it for a while.
Yeah. So we had terrible nicknames, and now we are reclaiming our terrible nicknames for our alter egos. So the Furfur and Varky show.
Yes. So we were talking about bad nicknames. Then we turned it into a positive. This will be alternate personalities. We'll do a comic series maybe someday about this. And our artist friend, Corey Mann, drew an iteration of the Furfur and Varky duo. And that is me.
That's Furfur.
She is an alley cat who, here's the premise of the show. Actually, Aaron, you describe it really, really well.
Okay.
I think you do a good job. The premise of the show.
The premise of the show that doesn't exist and may never exist, but is in our hearts, in our
forever,
is that Varky is an aardvark who lives in a pet store, is very safe there, feels very protected, and is never bought. Who's going to buy a pet aardvark? Like, this is just like, you know.
Especially.
But for him, it's all he's ever known. He's comfortable there. He feels good.
Everything's
Furfur,
in order.
Everything's in order. Everything is the way it's supposed to be. Furfur is an alley cat who sneaks in to the pet store to have conversations with some of the pet store animals, including
I imagine her Varky. Coming out of the ceiling first and doing like this backwards thing.
Uh-huh,
where she kind of picks her head like, hello, you know, that kind of thing. That's how she enters.
Yeah, exactly.
Enter scene
so
that way.
The show revolves around the things they learn from each other, which is very similar to Danae and I's experience with each other. So
my favorite part of the Furfur character is that is when she's at her wildest, and we told the artist like unhinged, and he drew this, and he can you see what he wrote at the bottom? Aaron and Danae, this scared me. Like her tongue, it looks like something not of this world, which I also enjoy. But then the other side of Furfur is this like kind of more demure cat. She sort of flips back and forth as the inspiration for her also does. So anyway.
There you go. Furfur and Varky show.
I love that.
That's our pitch.
I'm glad
if any
you guys
big
like it.
Producers are listening, we'll totally work with you to make that a reality.
Oh, there's
some genius there.
I've actually talked to a couple of cartoon artists in the last couple of years. Man, to have the expendable income to be able to pay somebody what they're worth, because I kindly have people like, oh, I'll cut you a deal. But because I have had to be an independent contractor and work for myself before, it's like, but if I can pay you what you actually deserve to get paid, let's do that. So it might be wild, but it'll be awesome.
It'll be awesome. It'll be a lot of fun.
Thanks for the morning messages, you guys, and all of the love. We care for you. We see all the messages coming in, and you, you're awesome. So you ready to get started with the show, though, Aaron? You ready to do this?
Yeah. You want to shoe a dough?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to do the DNA and you. So we got a D topic, an A topic, and a U topic, and we'll start with the D topic, Danae. What is your topic today?
It's a simple one. Are you a spider killer?
Oh, this is good.
Spider season is upon us. At least this is when, so we have a very active back porch. We have spiders that love to be there, of course, as spiders do, because they take care of small insects and such. And you think like in the fall, they're done because it's cold. But no, this is when they're really, this is when they're really active. At least they are right now. So we have a several spider situation. And in my household, I am a spider saver. I love spiders, even though they are creepy and eight-leggedy, and they move way too fast and in directions.
Eight-leggedy, you say?
Mm-hmm. Four-leggedy?
Wait,
what kind of spiders are you seeing?
No, it's not an adjective I've ever heard before this morning.
So you're surprised?
You know what that spider is? It's eight-leggedy. That's an eight-leggedy spider.
When I was little, I didn't like spiders. They move in directions you don't expect because of their leggedies. And now though, I love them. And if I can save a spider, I do the cup thing, you know, and you slide the paper and then you set them free. And I have many stories of that going positively and negatively. A couple of epic stories of me attempting to save spiders. It's gone in ways that I guess I should tell you. Maybe today is the day, but the reason that it's on my mind is we woke up this morning and we have the like Charlotte's Web spider web going on the back porch. It says some pig. Spoiler alert. I have very smart spiders.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. What was it? What else does it say?
I don't remember. That's the only one that came. That may even be wrong. That's just what came to my mind. I'll look it up.
Chat'll
you keep
fix
talking.
It. Chat'll tell us.
You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Well, the cool thing is like the morning sun was hitting it just perfectly. And I got to, you know, lift up the little one and take her out to the back porch. And also, what is it?
Some pig is correct. Some pig was definitely one of them. That's the one I remember.
Well done.
Then there were adjectives. So like she wrote terrific, radiant, and humble. So those were the things.
Oh my gosh. And then she wrote RIP and killed us all.
Spoilers.
Dang book. I will never forget when I like either. Did I read it? Here's what I'll forget. I'll forget who read it to me, but I'll never forget realizing that what I was reading or what I was being read to meant that Charlotte was dead. Mm. I think it was my first time at a book to deal with. Is this why I don't like killing spiders? Does it go back to Charlotte's Web because it was so traumatic? Is this real?
I think you have a lot of experiences growing up that could result in your protection of animal life, but I also think it's built into you. I think the experiences that you had growing up were so traumatic because of what is part of your soul, a part of your makeup. And I'm not trying to take you someplace, so we'll go by it really quickly, but I know there's a snake story from your past that is really traumatic for you. And so there are these animal stories that you have in your past that I think inform but also come from who you are. So
don't let you know your imagination go wild, people. It wasn't like slithering from the ceiling and dropping on my neck or anything.
No. It was somebody else was harming a snake and it really destroyed you. So
yeah. I mean, my first memory of snake trauma involves hanging from a kid's playground.
Mm-hmm, yeah, from like a swing set.
Yeah, God, the things we've seen. God, to think that that's the most traumatic my childhood got. Woof. Watching Daddy slice some serious snakes. Mom's in the chat. She remembers this most likely. Anyway, back to spiders. there's in the middle of the spider web is this really big, fat, you know, spider. So it's a cool teaching experience. And now on the back porch, we have a tunnel spider that has found a home inside of a discarded rug that we put underneath like the garden table on the porch, where we have just some kind of stuff that's sort of should be put away but isn't. Thank you, neighbors, for not judging us. Mm-hmm. And a spider has made the fabric its home, and it's sort of like living there, and it's wonderful. And we just kind of get to watch its like little legs come out. Sorry if this is freaking anyone out. And it's a neat teaching experience because we don't mm-hmm. really go out like and look at nature a lot. My family, I've got family that lives like on the land, and they've always been very naturey. Like people, I'd go over to their house and they'd have terrariums of various creatures and reptiles and things that they caught in their backyard, and they're like fearless explorers. And me, I'm like, let's go to the back porch and look at this spider I found. It's about mm-hmm. as like nature driven that we get. So it was neat. It was a cool experience. I just realized I don't kill them. That being said, there is a big spider's nest egg thing that I found, contemplating what to do with that one. But I thought it would be a good topic because I know that creepy crawlies are an interesting point of conversation, especially around Halloween, because they're going to be decorations for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. People chatting. Archimedes says, no, spider good, mosquitoes bad. So yeah, there's the whole circle of life thing that animals do with each other. Nick says, with fire. Nick is very anti-spider. Random Chick asks the pertinent question that I think we've mentioned, inside or outside of the house. Because that can make a difference for a lot of people. Eight says, depends. Window spider gets to live.
In the window. Location.
So, listen to all you spiders listening to the show. Windows. Chris says, I'm a spider keeper. My legged legion will guard these lands against the scourge of invertebrate terror. Very nice. That Weeda says, spiders are useful. No killing valuable household members. Seems like a good general rule for life. Not to kill any valuable household members. Now, if you're not a valuable member of the household, gone. Ugh. All right. Let's see. Real Mikey says, spiders are awesome, and I'll try to catch flies for their webs. So save the spiders, kill the flies.
I love the idea of like going around the house and trying to like, you know, and then fling it into the web, which I've done before. So I'm not laughing because I just didn't realize I was not the only one. I have tried to like put something into a web before.
JCD says, depends on the spider. Venomous and in a place I need to be, it's going to die. Otherwise, it gets a reprieve.
Yeah, venomous spiders are a different category to me. Really, anything venomous just shifts over into survival a little bit too strongly. And then it becomes like me versus them.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with a lot of people is, how do you know? Like, I try to remind myself, like, when it's a tiny little spider, even if it is venomous, I don't think there's enough venom in that tiny little thing that's going to hurt me.
I remember hearing that the most venomous spider was the daddy long leg, but that its mouth is so too small to bite. And I don't know if that's true or not.
That has got to be an urban legend. That cannot be true.
As I get older, I believe you. I'm with you. That has to be just an urban legend. We used to have this campsite that my mom and my dad would take us to, and they had like a public shower area in the place where we used to set up our tents and everything. Every time I went into that place, it was, you know, just like a large concrete structure, and it was really nice considering it was, you know, but it was like private property. I think you had to have like a timeshare type of a thing. I don't know. Anyways, you had to like have the keys to get into the property and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was a really nice like outdoor structure. There were so many daddy long legs, enough that when you walked in the door, they brushed against your legs. So you had to either just get over it to get to the shower or the bathroom or never, ever go in there. Now, granted, I was smaller at the time, so they seemed even larger, because I feel like right now my memory is them brushing against my calf. Now, that's really tall, even for a little person.
They're tapping you on the knee.
Excuse me, ma'am.
It's not that high voice that you did, because they're big. It'd be like, excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me. But they have really tiny mouths, remember, because they can't bite us. My mother coming through with the word I could not think of, membership. God bless.
Doc says, I'm a spider saver too. Lolly says, in the UK, I was catch and release. In USA, I don't know which ones bite, so the ones that come inside get squished. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lolly says, also, my husband is terrified, so spider killing is my job to keep him safe.
It's good that you know your role.
That you know your role. No, I don't think I'm all that scared of spiders. And then one like jumped out of my steering wheel the other day onto my hand, like just like jumped on me, and I freaked out. I just was like shaking my hand for, you know, the next 5 minutes. So there's just that normal, I think, very built-in natural fear of creepy crawlies.
Yeah. I mean, let's see. Yeah. Especially because they can crawl quickly into places that people don't normally touch you. Like through the back of the neck and then you're up in your ear or something, like or when they can just really quickly crawl underneath clothing and get in places.
Yeah,
or you feel them like on the interior of your pant leg. Gah!
That is why there are so many great, and when I say great, terrible is what I mean, urban legends about spiders, like, you know, living in ears and
how many you eat in a year.
And how many you eat and when you're sleeping, and like the zit that turns out not to be a zit, but like a spider's nest, growing in your skin.
That was in that creepy book growing up. What was that super scary book
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That was in there. And that book is not one to give to any child.
It's also a popular urban legend, you know, that's something that happens. So.
Those drawings, those like elongated pencil drawings.
Yeah. Yep. I guess I'll answer this question now. I gave little care to killing insects until Danae came into my life. And Danae's care for all living creatures, no matter what size, was really interesting to me. And it's just not something I had ever really considered, you know, the life of a fly or the life of a spider or the life of an ant or the life of a bug. And I think for the most part, I'm still not overly morally, ethically concerned if I kill a bug. However, I am very careful if it's within Danae's presence. yes, I'm very careful if it's a puppy. You know, I just don't step on a lot of puppies these days now that I know Danae.
Now that you know that I care about living things in general.
Yeah, in general, I am done with my puppy squishing days. So, yeah, that's kind of been my experience. Very nice. Let's see. Oh, JCD says the Daddy Long Legs is an urban legend. Mythbusters proved it. So there you go.
Yeah, you make the assumption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I think the most I've been scared of spiders was when I did missions work in, I forget what island it was, and just, you know, tarantulas were just a part of their life. And so you had to check your shoes every morning, and you slept with, you know, big nets that hopefully would keep them out of your sleeping area. And I remember seeing tarantulas and just being like, I don't know that I can sleep while we're here. I don't know that, you know, that I trust these nets. Because those things, big spiders are, whew.
Big spiders are a little different.
Like, yeah, they
when
do
you
something
can actually
to me.
Make eye to eye to eye to eye to eye to eye contact. It changes things. Dramatically.
Yes, it does.
When you can see their little mandibles moving.
Oh, the scariest thing I saw on that trip.
To speak to you? Because you know, like, they're trying.
Yeah, they're trying. The scariest thing I saw on that trip was like an actual giant centipede with just like, you know, I mean, it was probably this long and just like, it was scary. And it had the, you know, the little things at the front, and it's just like, go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about the ones on the porch and the ones you find in your shower. But there is a certain degree where when anything grows beyond a certain size, it becomes a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, that's even true for dogs. I mean, some people are like, this is my Chihuahua and I love dogs. But then, you know, they're introduced to a St. Bernard and suddenly they're very wary because it is now grown to be of the size that could kill you if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I do wonder about, you know, I read the things that's coming up in chat, the like in Australia, going to like these places where there are insects that are larger than I have ever been able to dream of them being.
Like, you see the picture of the clock on the wall and there's two spider legs like coming out from behind it that are bigger than my arm.
That's got to be Photoshopped, right? Like,
No, there
but
are
then
some,
you go
there
to Australia, and apparently, you know, that's the hard thing too about just anything with the internet is there's so much, you know, trolling that happens. How much is actually real? Mm-hmm. But when someone from Australia is like, "No, really, don't," then you pay attention to that. Either that or it's just they're all committed to scaring the bejeebies out of you.
Yeah.
Anyway. So.
Yep. Yep. Spiders.
Aaron, what about you? What's your topic today?
My topic. Where has this been all my life? What's something new that you've tried recently and now you don't think you can live without it? So something that you tried that was a huge success and now it's like just part of your life. I bring this up because I had my first protein shake. And I've never had a protein shake before.
I swear, if chat starts going off about air fryer, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, that's a good answer. It's a good answer.
It's a great answer. It's air fryer is a great answer. It's a great answer. If you survive 2020 and 2021 without, you know,
hearing about an air fryer every week from someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on you.
Anyways, okay, go ahead.
So yeah, I tried a protein shake. I guess I was under the impression that it would taste very powdery, and I can taste the protein in it, but it tastes yummy. Like it's, you know, there's a real sweetness depending on how it's made.
Sugar?
in this case, honey, not sugar, which I think is important. I don't know why. I think that's what I've been taught that honey is a much more natural way to get your sugar, carbohydrates, and your sweetener. So from bees, insects.
I'm sorry, can we just pause for a second?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hearing something really important.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Told you so. Oh, that's what it was. I could hear it echoing from the past, just sort of rolling forward into the now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Also, save the bees.
Save the bees. So now I'm just like, okay, so this is my breakfast. This is my breakfast every single day. I'm sorry, we will no longer be able to afford gas, groceries, those kind of things, because I have to buy a, you know, $15 protein shake or whatever ridiculous amount it costs every single day. But it was just kind of one of those moments where it's like, oh, this is a thing that's going to be in my life forever now.
Yes.
Who knows if it will be, but that's what it feels like, right? So it got me thinking, like, what is something like that for you where it's been like, I've never tried this in my entire life, and now it's just, I can't live without it. It's the best thing ever. Love it. So, yeah.
Well, I also, I loved in the chat from A Real Mikey who says, dang it, I was going to say air fryer. That Weta says, I got my first iPhone a couple months ago. Well, smartphone in general or iPhone specific is my follow-up question to you, because I do think both are interesting, but my mind immediately went to the assumption, because this is a massive assumption, that like everyone's first smartphone was the iPhone, which is not the case and not true at all.
Right.
But based on the question, you know, if you found the iPhone and you love it, I'm just kind of curious about your experience there. Streaming is what the Slenderman, aka Derek.
Sure.
Shout out. Guys, if you're on my Twitch channel, you can do !MOCO. And please, if you're not already, go follow that channel, which is where the Slenderman and his sister Devin stream Monday through Friday. They do their work Monday through Thursday, and then they have like just gaming time on Fridays. But this week is a huge week for them because this is their 1 year anniversary of streaming for exactly a year. So this is a super, super cool kind of moment for them. And they're going to be doing some fun celebratory things, including going back and watching clips of things that have happened from the last year. Derek, the Slenderman, has been working on that video. So it's kind of a good time to catch up. And the chat will be hopping all week because the entire community is showing up to show support. But you're absolutely right. Streaming is a good one. That would be one that would work for me too. That I have recently discovered that is a very wonderful extension of my life as well, which is also what Breezy says, Twitch, and all the community and all the things that are going on Twitch.
Very nice. There was one up here. Archimedes says, oh, so making my own sushi, proper sushi knife. If you want a thing, loving sushi like I do, I waited way too long to learn how to make it.
Yeah.
That seems like a process, making sushi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Because you have to get the right consistency on the rice. And then you have to learn how to stack the ingredients in the proper way, and then roll it on the little rolly pad well enough. And then the right knife, of course, because, you know, not from personal experience or anything, butter knives, they're not meant to cut.
They're not meant.
They're just not meant. Sushi.
They're just not meant.
They're really meant for their namesake, which...
Spreading butter.
It's butter.
And that is all. And that is all.
BritBox snacks.
I don't even know what that is.
I'm guessing it's like a monthly subscription for snacks that come from Britain.
Hmm.
For those who are not there and desire the tasty treats of their home. Their homeland.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Makes sense. Slendemon also says pressure cooker. That was like the air fryer before the air fryer.
The
Instapot. Like
the Instapot.
It's like, did you get an Instapot yet?
Yep.
And we all just fall for it every single time. We're just like, this is amazing. And then when's the last time I used my Instapot? And I'm just, you know, someday it'll be like, when's the last time I used my air fryer? Now it just sits on a shelf somewhere. But for the
Your
time being.
Your air fryer? You're not using it?
No, I'm saying there will be a day, probably.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, my mom has, at her house, she has the graveyard of kitchen devices.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not, it's not always a graveyard. It's just like they're very for a specific purpose, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, this one from, this is still about critters. I'm going to read this one real quick, just as a callback for Lucas. Mm-hmm. I live in the middle of the Amazon forest. Just a quick stop. That's cool. And continuing on. So spider season is also season for small and giant snakes and scorpions and all other pernicious creatures.
Mm-hmm. Very
Can
pernicious.
Can we all just very quickly add pernicious to our vernacular? Pernicious. Let's do a quick Google search.
Let's talk about a new word. Pernicious.
Today's new word is pernicious, brought to you by Lucas. Pernicious meaning having a harmful effect, especially in a gradual or subtle way. That's being friends with me.
No, it's not. Don't be so mean to yourself.
Nick
says, definitely my kids. Never tried having kids before.
Pernicious?
They're definitely something.
They
are definitely something I can't imagine my life without. Plus, my wife gets mad when I try to get rid of them.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Winky face.
Listen, you do a lot of work to make their outfits for Halloween every year. Don't ditch them that quickly.
Yeah.
Doc says, I started listening to podcasts around 5 to 6 years ago. The first podcast I listened to was some guy called CinemaSins. Was by some guys called CinemaSins. I don't know if you know who they are. No. Could you tell us more about that?
I haven't heard.
You know, podcasting was one for me, too, because I remember when I first dipped my toe into podcasting, thanks to Aaron Dicer, who taught me so much and is the reason that we're still podcasting to this day, because he is Mr. Consistency. I pretty much stopped watching television at that point, I think. I used to put on shows, TV shows, just something like this in the background. So it was like something to have on and listen to while I did whatever I was actually doing. And very quickly, I realized that that was just a comfort sort of space for me to be consuming media. But in podcast format, there's so many different kinds of podcasts. So I just went on this like insane exploration, and I will go back into that very wonderful pool of very talented people and continue to listen to some. There's some that still grab my attention. But yeah, podcasting is like, it's one of those things, like when I found it, it made so much sense for my personality style. It's not for everybody, but yeah, I'm totally with you on that, Doc.
In some ways, it is, has a lot of the same elements as Twitch, right? Like a lot of the same idea of anybody can throw on a stream, anybody can do a podcast. There's not like some sort of, you know, conglomerate at the top going, I'm going to decide which, you know, podcasts are the ones you can listen to and that we're going to put on the show. And so there's a real like kind of homespun nature to it. They can be about a whole bunch of different topics, different things. So, I think it kind of podcast was kind of that first inkling ushering in like creator culture and the idea of, you know, widespread content creation. And I've been doing podcasts since, 2005, 2006, like, you know, right, right there at the beginning. Danae will attest to this. When we first started, I was still writing our own code for distribution. Like
you had to write your own code back in the day.
I knew my way around an XML file, which is, you know, kind of the base file that's posted online somewhere that podcast aggregators use to find the episodes and download them. And I knew how to create the XML file and then put the, you know, the MP3s for the different episodes into the same folder. And, you know,
do you remember when you taught me how to code for podcasting?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What a nightmare. Now, Danae, hold on a second. I need you to focus.
It's true.
Do you see you this great. Tiny little dot and slash? You can't ever delete that. You have to remember
that it needs
to go here and then also over here.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to check here. Now you update it this and this, but not this. And here's Danae like, okay.
Yeah.
And then you're on vacation getting a message. Hey, Aaron, do you remember when I was supposed to pay attention to that very important thing?
Mm-hmm.
Derp.
Yeah.
Yep.
Abby says the communication app called Voxer.
Oh, girl.
Use it every day. I remember Voxer.
Oh, my God. Voxer. Voxer's great. For those who do not know, it is like the walkie-talkie of communication devices. Well, you can send audio messages on most platforms.
Most messaging apps
really
have
clunky.
It now. Yeah.
They're kind of clunky in a lot of ways. WhatsApp does a pretty good job because you can kind of click and drag and then remove your thumb and you can do your voice message and it sends pretty well. But WhatsApp is tied to Facebook. So if you're, you know, Facebook clean, you're probably not going to use WhatsApp. Most messaging, like your actual phone message system, doesn't do very well. Voxer is kind of like the original voice texting app. And it's a doozy of one. It triggers me. I think I've got it and I download it. And I'm like, nope, I can't be here. It's too much. It's constant notifications.
Yeah. Archimedes says also automatic cars during traffic jams. I'm a stick driver, but I always get my mom's automatic when I know I'm driving during peak hours. That is a game changer. I've never driven. I have. That's not true. I have driven a stick. I've never learned to drive a stick well. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so, I was going to say you have learned and then immediately attempted to forget that you knew how. The trauma.
Let's just say I didn't enjoy the experience. I am very much technology should make everything easier for us. And so
I actually, when I glanced at that one, I thought Archimedes was saying like automatically driving cars. And I was like, wait, we don't have those out just yet.
We do.
Not
we do.
In the way that I was thinking.
I mean, you know, move to Arizona, man. It's so cool
no,
there.
No, thank you.
Sorry. I love that you just, you do this thing where you just immediately take the words and make them real. And you're just like, I'm not moving to Arizona. That was my point. My point was if someone went to Arizona, they have. Really legalized a lot of that stuff, and it is absolutely, I'm telling you, once we all get on board, which we will, feel free to fight it if you like, but once we get on board, it's going to save so many lives. It's going to absolutely change the world.
You can just get in the car and you can kind of keep resting or
people will drive, take overnight trips to their vacations, those kind of things, and just sleep during the drive. It will be absolutely game changing in so many ways that we haven't even thought of yet. Automatic self-driving cars is the future and it should be the future. And so many lives will be saved, which is the most important thing. Sorry, a soapbox. Listen, you brought it up. I'm going to pull out the soapbox whenever there's the automatically driving car conversation. You got there. You got there eventually.
I'm like, where is it? The back end. I know it's somewhere.
The more you know. Are you ready for some new questions?
We need a GIF that's just like this brought to you by Dicer, like, or like a soapbox or something. Just a real quick shout out to Slendemon's crispy rice machine that was also mentioned.
Okay.
I don't know. Did I miss any others?
I think we're good to move on. There was a question that I think can take us into the you part. Okay. If you have any questions for us, again, It's, you know, it's AUA. Ask us anything, and we will work through as many as we can.
Also, if you asked a you question early on, it's likely gone from chat. So if you remember what it is, try to stick it back in chat so we can get to it.
Please and
thank you.
So yeah, I know I saw a question in here somewhere to kind of transition us. Here it is. Jonathan says, hey, Jonathan, I just chatted with Jonathan a couple days ago.
Bragger.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
I talked to somebody too one time.
How do you feel about the current monetization of podcasts? For example, Spotify buying the Rogan Show. I have mixed feelings. Danae, do you have feelings on this?
I think, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Me too.
I mean, Aaron and I study podcast trends. I've gone to conventions for education. We both consult with people on launching podcasts and kind of the ways to even think about show creation, stuff like that. That's kind of all just come naturally to us as the years have gone on, and we happen to just be people who've been around doing it for a while. So I definitely have opinions. I think it makes sense, because what big companies are realizing is that podcast listeners are incredibly invested and willing to sit through just about anything for the content that they're consuming because they're passionate. Mm-hmm. So you have, like, podcasting is such a different format in that, you know, you can consume it in, like, long form, for example. So you've got somebody that's willing to sit there and listen to people talk that they really enjoy for over 2 hours in some cases, right? Where the format and the content of the show is designed around the length of the show. This can be any style of show. So it's interesting data. And once companies realized how to take the data and turn it into advertising dollars,
Data to dollars.
Complete sense as to why there would be companies like Spotify or whomever creating platforms for people to make podcasts so that they can then be that connecting point for the advertising dollar. And a few years ago was really when things started to just, like, kick up for advertising money being put specifically towards podcasting. Once the bubble burst on what the word podcast means, which is debatable. So yeah, lots and lots of opinions, lots and lots. I will stop there, however, because I don't want to listen to the podcast show. But if you guys have questions like that, you're always welcome to ask us. We will help you guys out with anything you've got going on.
I want to address specifically the example that you gave and kind of that type of monetization that is happening more and more, where companies will buy a podcast or a podcast network. The Ringer Podcast Network is another example that Spotify just bought recently for millions, maybe $1 billion. I don't even remember. Just these crazy amounts, and a lot of them are getting bought. That doesn't really bother me, especially when the company understands the ethos of podcasting. When what I mean by that is the idea that it is available for all on different platforms. It's very like the internet on that way. What bothers me is, I think a good example of this, I actually don't know what they're doing with Rogan. I don't listen to Rogan's show. So I apologize if they're doing this with Rogan too, and this is what you mean. Jason Bateman has a podcast. I think Amazon bought it. Somebody can fact check me on that. I think Amazon bought his podcast that he's doing with friends. It's a really cool concept. I love Jason Bateman. I would love to listen to this podcast. It is only available on their podcast platform. Mm-hmm. That is the new that is really bothersome to me, because it's completely against the ethos of the idea of how podcasting started. And just like the internet, it would be, you know, nobody owns the internet in a way that can say, you know, hey, you can't, you know, access this. Now, I mean, you have paywalls and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, certainly I don't have a problem with paywalled podcasts, where it's like, hey, if you want to listen to our podcast, you have to be a member. You have to pay a membership fee. I totally get that. I don't mind that at all, you know, if you want to monetize it that way. What I do mind is, oh, it's still free, but only if you, are able to listen on this one particular platform. So, yeah, I said something very funny, or Danae is distracted by something
so
very
distracted.
Funny right now, but which yeah, always makes me feel good that my opinions are,
yeah,
you know, so interesting. But
I
think that's kind of what you're talking about, Jonathan, is the examples of excluding people's content to a certain platform. And that's where it starts to bother me.
There was a podcast I listened to that point called, oh, I don't remember now. That's a bad sign. But they were one that I was actually really interested in the story that they were telling, because it was collaborative storytelling through Dungeons and Dragons. So they were kind of playing a game, but they were doing more of the story part of it than like the dice rolling and stuff. And they were, it was interesting to listen to. And they took a deal with Spotify to move to an exclusive, and they said it wasn't going to change anything, right? But it did. I wasn't able to get their podcast in my feed anymore. And so I ended up stopping supporting them on Patreon, because I'm like, I can't find you on the platform that I use to listen to podcasts. So it is a little bit, you know, divisive in that way. But yeah. I think people are just going to try to do what they need to do for their own shows, and they'll find their next, you know, audience and things like that. But it's a very interesting time to watch podcasting shift and change. Because it used to just be like on basically one thing, and now it's really, really diverse, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I do too. I have radical ideas on content creation anyway. I you know, there's a deeper conversation about copyright, all that kind of stuff that, you know, I could pull another soapbox out on and just say we have completely misunderstood the idea of content ownership and the idea of, you know, the copyright was invented as a way to allow creators to get some money before something will naturally become able to be used in stories by everybody. And it has turned into this like lockdown, absolute, nobody else can tell a story about this thing. I think ideas should be free. I think content should be free. And it's
free, you know, the content.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
But I know that's a radical idea. But I think it's backed up by some good stuff.
Here's one from JCD, who asks, have you ever had moments when you were where you question your association with a group before? Example, the Tennessee fan base. Like yourself? Are you asking us if we're questioning you?
I know exactly what JCD is saying here. I've had this feeling many, many times. Most recently, Star Wars probably is the most recent one, where it's like, I love Star Wars stuff. Some of the stuff that happened with the newest trilogy, with Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker and that kind of stuff, I was just like, do I even want to be in the Star Wars fandom right now? Like, you know, like it's that kind of thing where it's like, this thing that I love has been invaded by this other thing, and maybe I just need to, you know, step away. And I think that's what he's talking about.
Listen, I'm going to get real with y'all. Buckle up. The only fan base that I've really been like are Christians.
Jesus fans. I think that's a legit conversation. Yeah.
Like, well, I don't want to go deep here because.
Right. Sure.
It's a big conversation. But that was before the last few years. I've always had this thing. I don't know if you guys have it too. I hate being lumped in with the other people. Like, I hate it so much. I would like to think that I get to stand out on my own, but the reality is that we're designed in our, like, our chemical makeup to make quick assessments of our surroundings and put people into categories of comfort. We're designed that way. It's kind of part of our animal brain, if you will. And I think that unless you do the work to really break down those things and you decide to take the time to meet everybody individually, which is really hard to do, if not impossible, you end up making assumptions about people. So when I was raised a Christian, I did not enjoy being lumped in with the people that I was around. When I wasn't a Christian, it was blissful. Because I was around a lot of people who just didn't judge the way that you do when you are around Christians. Now I'm making big sweeping gestures here. And then I became a Christian again and met the good ones.
Oh, God. You gotta be careful with that kind of stuff.
Guys, I started this by saying I'm making sweeping gestures and we're moving through the paces. So you're gonna have to kind of like fill in the blanks about what you know about me and try to kind of like go. There's a lot I'm skipping over here. Years and years and years and years. But I found people who didn't judge, who were willing to have conversations, who were willing to say, you know what, at the end of the day, I don't know the answer, and talk about God in a really respectful way. Rather than, hey, if you don't do this, this, and this, you're going to hell. So this was my life. This isn't everyone's life as a Christian, because Christianity has multifaceted descriptions and definitions, which is why I don't like to be lumped in. I don't like to be moved in. And there are a lot of Jesus fans, and there are a lot of a variety of Jesus fans. And being associated with a fan base of Jesus specifically, I'm not talking about just a belief in God. I'm talking about Christianity, which is centered around Jesus. Yo, that's one where I'm like, I got my personal beliefs. I'm gonna back out of this conversation and let you guys, you know, do what you do, because there are just, there's more, I see more hatred coming out of hatred and criticism and judgment and divisiveness and a lack of unity and a lack of love and a lack of understanding and a lack of what I think Jesus represented than I have ever seen before. It scares me. So yeah, that's a big one for me. And I have just stepped into it. So I'm going to help us step out of it very quickly. And we're going to move on to another question about air fryers.
I think I can move us out of it pretty quickly and pretty easily. And I think what we're talking about is labeling. Anytime.
Oh, I hate it so much.
In JCD, this is the heart of your question. The heart of your question is, I put this label on and I say, hey, this is me. And then you're like, oh, wait, maybe this isn't me if that's someone else who's wearing this label. And I think there's this thing, whether it be Christianity, whether it be atheism on the other, you know, other end of the spectrum, or whether it be a sports fan, whether it be a TV show fan, where I think we all need permission to say, here is something about me that you could use to define me and label me, but it doesn't create who I actually am.
Right.
And, you know, and so we need to be able to present who we are in a way that doesn't immediately get some sort of, oh, well, I'm going to put you in this category. But here's the thing. That's human nature. We all do it. And part of the fight, part of the fight is to stop doing that. Part of the fight is to stop, for all of us, to stop going, oh, you wear that label?
That defines you. Yeah, exactly. Because people are different than you. And we have this desire to protect ourselves. And if you see a label, like, I don't have to agree with everything that someone does to consider them a valuable part of my life. In fact, we can have very, very different opinions and still find a way to connect. That's kind of that's my personal experience. But we actually used to have a segment on the podcast called No Labels Safe, where we really went into these deeper conversations. And this is certainly one of them for me. But I'm not really part of a massive fan base where I look and I'm like, oh, I would be associated with that group of people based on my fandom, except for this area. So that's why I connected to it so quickly.
Yeah.
Didn't try to make that about religion, but I did.
It can go for nationalism. It can go for American, being an American. You know, that's a label that somebody could put on. You go, I know what it means to be an American. Yeah. So, all that stuff.
Guns and moonshine.
Sure. Yeah. Or an Ozarkian. Oh, you live in the Ozarks. Oh, yeah. Here, I know what category to put you in.
Yeah.
You know, like anything. Like anything can become that kind of label where we do that too. Archimedes says, you question going to the movies alone, yay or nay. I mean, that's almost what I do now is go to the movies alone. So, yeah, I go to a lot of movies alone. It's fine once you're used to it.
Movies in general?
Yeah. Nick says, we'll try to rush through as many of these as we can. We'll be finishing up here pretty quickly, though. You question, I was invited to be a guest on a pop culture podcast in a couple weeks. It's my very first time being on a pod. Do you have any tips, tricks, or pointers? Be yourself. That's mine. Danae?
Yep. Be yourself. Don't worry a lot about if it's a podcast, they can always like do editing too. So if you have to gather your thoughts and they can always edit out, like, you know, hopefully edit out anything that maybe upon reflection, you don't want to be in there. So just don't get in your head too much. They want you for your personality. So Aaron's absolutely right. And there are cues that you can hear when you're doing a show, little pauses and breaks. If somebody has something to say, they usually take a breath real quickly. So you can kind of listen for those sorts of things, too, if you're trying to kind of like learn how to pop back and forth in conversation and listen for those moments when you have like an in. Sometimes they'll have visual cues, like you can put your hand up if you've got something to say, and that can kind of help as you're learning how to chat on a show. But hopefully they welcome you in and make you feel comfortable and let us know how it goes. I hope it's fun for you.
Thank you for all the you questions. If you can remember them, come back at us on another Monday. We're just going to do one more. This is an important one. I think this is a really good
one
to end the show on.
There's a reason we can't go. We can't hang out super long today, and there's a reason for that, because someone has to go today.
I think this is a really important, valuable, deep conversation to finish our show on. Akers asks, when is the last time you ripped an audible fart in public and got caught? When is the last time that you were caught, as they say, farting?
I mean, never.
Right? That's what I'm thinking the same thing. Like, I can't remember ever getting caught. Like, I'm sure when I was a kid, or
like, this just it seems like a question. It seems
like
a
different
question.
Levels, right? Like, yeah, there's levels. Yeah. Like when you're with people that you're close to. Like if you're at home with family or whatever, then
that's different.
You know,
no. That's different. Yeah. This is like a you're in public. You're at the supermarket. And you rip one, and then the entire aisle, like from one side and the other, mm-hmm. they turn and they look at you, and then someone pops over the top of the next aisle and looks down and was like, did you hear that? And that's this moment that we're talking about. I don't have one of those. I mean, I do have some stories of hearing other people fart that right. are delightfully hilarious, but
listen, if you've ever been in a row of treadmills at a gym for any length of time, somebody is going to have some treadmill gas, and you're going to hear it. So.
My mother in chat coming through with Danae's hot yoga and Taco Bell story. Listen, that one did not result in a public fart. Thank you. But I was praying to God and clenching my ass so hard on that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's exactly all you Nope. A little bit more on that one. This is, again, not a public fart story. This is a keeping it together by intestinal fortitude and miraculousness. I'm not sure.
You want fortitude, not fartitude, is
very
basically where you're going.
Just for context, as those people are visualizing this for the first time, and then I'm going to send you guys over to King's Creations on Twitch channel so you can watch someone make cool art. I showed up what I thought was on time for yoga, but turns out for classes on yoga, you want to be early because there's only so much space to fill. So when I got there, the only room that remained was everyone on the front row shifting to the left or to the right to give me dead center space. And my first ever yoga class where I didn't know anything that was going on. Mm-hmm. And when we do these things on yoga mat and you're that packed in together, you really got to stay on your mat and also maybe stack a little bit, which I didn't know. And so there was this moment when you turn sideways. And so it's kind of like you're surfing on the yoga mat, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then you bend forward. I'm in hot yoga, which means the room is as if I am in Arizona. And I look up, like I bent forward and I looked up, and there is the person in front of me's tush, which means the person behind me is experiencing the very same thing if they look up. And I realized that Taco Bell was a terrible idea. I do hear my stomach rumbling, and yeah, it was a roller coaster for the ages.
We'll finish on a couple of your examples. Real Mikey says, I once fell asleep at lunch at work and farted myself awake.
No!
And JCD says, oh, I just remembered one from work. Accidentally farted at work in front of a new scientist once. And before I could react, my other coworker went, easy, you'll tear it.
Oh my god, it has been a wonderful show, you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support, for all of my friends over on Twitch. I can't thank you enough for joining us every Monday at 9 a.m. Central for the Morning DNA. I will be playing Babs likely either tonight or tomorrow, just so you guys know, so you can kind of watch out for that. Aaron and I also have other content you can find. Aaron, will you tell me about that while I set the read up?
Sure. If you want to check out our podcast network, it's just search for Studio DNA in your podcast player. That is also where Shoe the Dough exists. This show is a part of the Shoe the Dough podcast if you want to subscribe. So if you ever miss a Monday, you can listen to it there. And thank you to those that are doing that. Shoe the Dough downloads have like tripled in the last couple of months. So
that's awesome.
Thanks to those who are subscribing to the podcast.
Got years and years of content. You can hear us having all kinds of conversations we would have totally different today.
The first episode of Shoe the Dough was 9 years ago. So
insane.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah,
back
you can check out all that stuff.
Before my vocal cord stretched so much that I have a deeper voice now.
Yeah.
So yeah. We thanks appreciate guys so much for all you do. I'm going to raid you guys into King's Creations now. You guys have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next Monday.
Yep, see you on the next Monday.
Bye.
Or someday.
Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoo another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.